Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There was an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of the fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about the suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Crystal. It was a hot one this week, yes? It was hot, so hot that I think it was Thursday. We got in the lake and it literally felt like bath water. It was not refreshing at all. And we're not even in July yet, for crying out loud. So I thought maybe in light of this heat wave that we're in, that we would spend the next few weeks talking about faith that can take the heat. And we've spent a great deal of time this year in the New Testament. So I want to switch gears and look at a few stories in the Old Testament of people who faced intense moments, moments of pressure, testing, and divine fire, and emerged with faith refined, not destroyed. So the first story we are looking at is of Moses and the burning bush. So a little background about Moses. At the time of his birth, his nation and family lived in slavery under the hand of the Egyptians. They made them work in extremely harsh conditions, subjected them to extremely physical labor to build up their city and their structures. But despite their dismal living conditions, they kept cranking out babies right and left. They were growing exponentially. Eventually, Pharaoh becomes paranoid that the Hebrew nation is going to grow so big that they might overthrow his government, his leading. So Pharaoh tries to purge their nation by ordering an infanticide of Hebrew baby boys. And so he says, take them and throw them into the Nile. But Moses' mother hid him in a basket and sent him down the Nile River. And who should discover him but Pharaoh's daughter, who takes him and raises him as her own. And so Moses, a Hebrew, grew up in Pharaoh's palace. Now, we don't exactly know for sure how Moses came to know that he was Hebrew and not Egyptian. We can kind of get some interpretation from watching Cecil B. DeMille, Ten Commandments, right? But we can reasonably suspect that he does, because one day he witnesses an Egyptian slave driver whipping on a Hebrew, and Moses is triggered, and he murders the Egyptian. And it didn't take long for Pharaoh to find out about this, and when he did, he tried to kill him. So he flees to the wilderness, and he spends 40 years out there. 40 years. That's a long time. And if you read the Bible, you'll notice that the number 40 shows up numerous times. So it's a number of significance. But this always stood out to me, that Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, and eventually he would spend another 40 years in the wilderness as they led the Israelites to the Promised Land. But knowing the suffering that his people endured, he stays gone for 40 years, living in another land as a fugitive. He takes a wife, and he has a child, and he even names this child Gershom, which means, I became a foreigner in a foreign land. It's weird, right? Like, it was not uncommon in that time and culture to name your children after your experiences or circumstances, but for us, that seems odd, right? For one, it's not even that child's experience. It's the father's experience, and yet the child is bearing the name, meaning, I became a foreigner in a foreign land. It's strange. Although it did inspire the name of an 80s rock band, right? Maybe Moses was thinking, I want to know what love is. I'm glad you all got that. You're all my people. But I think his son's name revealed what was in Moses' heart, that he spent 40 years thinking about that. How he was a foreigner in a foreign land. He was literally and spiritually in a wilderness season, feeling lost, feeling disjointed. I mean, we get anxious about spending 40 minutes of our lives not knowing what to do next. He spent 40 years. And then one day, something unbelievable happens that changes the course of Moses' life. And this day started like any other ordinary day for Moses. He's tending to the sheep, no big deal. Just another day in the life of a Midian. But something very odd captures his attention. A bush that is on fire, but does not burn up. And like most men who are drawn to elements of danger, he says, this bush is on fire, and the bush isn't burning up, so by all means, let's get closer to it. I got to check this thing out. What's the worst that could happen? I'm already in the desert. How much hotter can it get? And as he approaches the bush, a voice calls out to him from it. Moses, Moses! And Moses says, here I am. Which also amuses me, because if I were to ever muster up the courage to walk up to a supernaturally burning bush, and a voice called out to me from within it, I'd be booking it. I would be running as far away from the bush as possible. I say that, but actually, I had an experience once, and you might think I'm a little crazy when I tell you this story, but I promise you this happened, okay? One night, I was sitting at the kitchen table working. I'm the only one at home, except for the dog. It was just me and my dog, Seamus. We didn't have any of our other animals at the time. We were less crazy then. Seamus was laying on the floor next to my chair, and I'm typing away, and somebody calls my name. And it wasn't like, it was a whisper. It was like, Kayla. And it was almost as if they were standing right behind me, and the hairs on the back of my neck immediately stood up. Now, here's the thing. Not only did I hear it, My dog heard it. Because the moment it happened, Seamus jumped up and started barking. If my dog could talk, he would tell you he heard it. It startled us both. So I hear, Kayla. And my knee-jerk reaction is to yell, what? I didn't say, here I am. I yell, what? I'm inclined to think it was one of two beings. It was either God, or it was either my heavenly father, or it was my earthly father, who had been in heaven for less than a year at the time that this happened. So once I calmed down, I sat there and listened to see if anything else would be said, but nothing else was said, probably because I yelled, what? Like a teenage girl, and they went, oh, never mind. Anyway, he calls out to Moses, and Moses says, here I am. And God says, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. God shows up many times in the biblical narrative as fire. In Genesis, when God made his covenant with Abraham, they did this really weird thing that was customary in their culture when they made a covenant. They cut an animal in half. And they put this piece here and they put this piece here. And they would walk between the two pieces as if to say, if I fail to keep this covenant, may my life become like this animal. Only Abraham does not pass through the two pieces. Only God passes through the animal. And his presence appears as a flaming torch and a smoking oven. And this moment, as well as the moment we're raising up now, the burning bush, it shows us the nature of the God we serve. That he comes to us. He takes the initiative. He keeps his promises. And when he leads the Israelites through the wilderness, which comes later, he guides them by a pillar of fire at night. Many times, fire shows up in the Bible as the presence of God. And anytime God was there, it became a sacred place. And just as fire is a force to be reckoned with, the proper response to being in the presence of God is reverence. So God told Moses, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In other words, I'm not the God of the family that raised you. I'm not the God of your family now. I am the God of your family of origin. And he says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, we've all been in seasons and situations where we have felt the heat and the pressures of life, and sometimes they feel almost unbearable. And we've wondered, does God even hear my cries for help? My petitions for deliverance? And does he even care? And the answer is yes. And we can know that through this story. Not only does God show up, but he tells Moses, I have heard my people's plight, and I'm going to deliver them and bless them. And that's good news. He may not show up and answer our prayers as fast as we'd like. I'm sure Moses would have liked some clarity sooner than 40 years spent in the wilderness. I'm sure the Hebrews would have loved deliverance from the Egyptians sooner than 400 years. But God is angry with the suffering of his people, and make no mistake, he is resolved to deal with it. The Bible tells us so, and in his perfect time, he will show up. So now he shows up and he tells Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh. And Moses says, well, who am I? that I should go and do this thing. And I can appreciate what Moses is saying here because I've been there. When I felt God calling me into ministry, I said, "What? You don't want me. Who am I? I'm a woman. I'm a middle-aged woman. I have a husband and 3 children, and I'm just now going back to college. I didn't grow up in the church. I only know a third of the Bible, and I'm a little fuzzy on those details. So come on, God. You know there are a ton of people out there that can do this job better than I can." I still tell him that sometimes, but he doesn't listen. Yes, he does. But I can imagine Moses saying, "Who am I? I don't even know. I was born into one nation. I was raised by another nation. I doubt either of them want me back. My adopted grandfather has a bounty for my head. I'm a murderer. I'm a fugitive. I'm a foreigner in a foreign land. Think it over, God. I mean, I'm talking to a bush for crying out loud. Clearly, I'm having hallucinations in the desert. You need to find another guy." But God calls him anyway. And he doesn't say, "Oh, knock it off, pull yourself off by your sandal straps and get going." He says, "I will be with you." And I love that. He's basically saying, "I like what you bring to the table, and I want you to be involved, but what I bring to the table is everything that is necessary." The fire of God doesn't speak just to comfort us in our wilderness season, but to call us out of it into mission. Many people think that their past disqualifies them from God's plan. I felt the same way. I still do. But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And what matters isn't where you've been, but where he is leading you. And Moses says, "All right, suppose I go and tell the Israelites and say to them, you know, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them?" And I imagine he's asking this because the last time he tried to intervene and help his people, they came back and said, "Who made you boss?" So he says, "So if I go back there and do what you tell me, and they ask me, who made you boss, what am I supposed to tell them?" And God responds with, "I am who I am. Tell them, I am sent you." That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I mean, it just sounds weird. I am sent me. If we went and told people that, some people are just going to look at us funny. What did he mean when he said, "I am"? He means that unlike the gods of the Egyptians, unlike the God of the surrounding nations, I am. He says, "I am self-existent." He exists by his own power. He is not created. He is not dependent or sustained by anything else. He is not bound by space and time. Unlike all created things, he simply is. He is eternal and unchanging. Again, not bound by time. He was without any help from anybody. He is with no need for an advocate. And he will because he says so. What he was in the time of Moses, he still is today. He is unchanging. He is ever-present, and he's personal. He is not just the God of the past or the future, but the God of right now. Involved in the lives of people, aware of their suffering, and ready to act on their behalf. He is all-sufficient. God is everything his people need him to be. Their deliverer, their provider, their shepherd, their peace. In effect, God replies to Moses' insecurity by saying, "It's not about who you are, it is about who I am." And by revealing his name as I am, God shifts the focus from Moses' weakness to God's power, his presence, and his faithfulness. Faith that can take the heat isn't faith in ourselves. It's faith in the unchanging, ever-present God who says, I am. And when the heat is on, that song's going to be stuck in your head all day, by the way. When the heat is on, it's not your strength that sustains you, it is God. And there is power in his presence and in his name. The burning bush wasn't consumed, and neither will you be in those moments. Not if your faith is in God who speaks from fire. Not if your confidence is in I am. So what bush is burning in your life right now? When you feel the heat, whether it's spiritual, emotional, relational, pause and say, here I am, God. I am listening. And what is it that you wish to speak to me in this fire? Now, that's the easy part. Believe it or not, that's the easy part. The harder part is going where God sends you. And it's often to the places that test your limitations. God basically told Moses to go back to the place where he broke cultural, religious, family rules, back to the place where he was wanted more dead than alive, and to tell Pharaoh, here's how this is going to go down. We are going to publicly disgrace and embarrass you through a show of the one true God and his power over your gods. And after we're done doing that, I am going to take the millions of people who helped your economy boom, and we're leaving. Did Moses feel the heat of this calling? Absolutely, he did. But he focused on God's power and not his weaknesses, and because of that, he saw the mighty hand of God move in ways he could never have imagined on his own. And I would hope that we want to be people who want to see the power of God unleashed, just as Moses did. And if so, we need to be a people with faith that can take the heat, not because we are fireproof, but because the God who goes with us is. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the fire that does not consume, for the flame that calls us closer, and for the voice that still speaks through the heat. And like Moses, we stand before you today, sometimes unsure, sometimes afraid. And yet you still invite us to take off our sandals, to lay down our excuses, and to step into your holy purposes. Lord, when life gets hot, when the pressures rise, remind us that you are the great I am. You are our strength, our guide, our confidence. And you do not call us because we are perfect. You call us because you are present. So send us out from this place with hearts on fire, but not burned out, with faith that can withstand the heat because it is rooted in you. In the mighty and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.